Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, sat in, well, what is a rather luxurious chair, next to my dear friend Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
And my good friend Tim Cocker, down the line. How are you, mate?
Dear to good. All right, fine. No worries. Not offended. How are you doing?
Yes, good. How is that shipping container? Have you had a refit of it yet? Have you got a nice comfy chair?
Yeah, because you won't get a third decadent chair for the Rugby Dungeon, I've got myself one for the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container. I am reclined as we speak, and I am in an airtight container away from your alcohol-filled breath, yeah. Which leads me on to, how was Prague?
Well, here's the thing. If you're ever thinking of going, or you have a loved one who's going to go, do not let them go. I did not like it. I did not enjoy it at all. Well, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed being with people. Put it this way, Tim. I will now tell you a story after Phil tells you how he enjoyed it, so you get a bit more of a balanced opinion.
Okay.
I did my first time in Prague. I thought parts of the city, visually, architecturally, are absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I had a brilliant weekend with some brilliant people. I think we spent a bit too much time inside Irish bars to get a feel of the proper city.
To be honest, Irish bars are preferable to what happened to me. So, I managed to get... So I was in a bar, Tim, in Prague. It was just me and the stag and maybe one other guy. We'd kind of gone off in a splinter group. And the stag is not the sort of guy who gets leery. He's just not a guy. If he gets drunk, he gets sleepy drunk and that's it. Yeah. That's what happens. He got sleepy drunk. And it wasn't even where he was still there. Saw him in the corner of my eye, being spoken to by one of the bouncers. So I popped up and said, do you want him out? Shall we go? And he said, yeah, you've got to go. I'm head bouncer, you've got to go now. So we turned, walked away, and as we walked away, he rugby tackled us. And then his mates dived in. So
what?
We got an absolute pasting on the floor. So I had to go out and cover my head, so on and so forth. I then got up, got out of the building, thought, oh my God, I've just left the stag in there with those animals. And they are animals. I mean, you know, these are vile, disgusting people. So I get out there and I'm like, right, okay. I think I can probably reason the stag out without him being too badly beaten up. Because the way they were trying to hurt me by stamping on me and all that sort of stuff, I thought, well, he's in for a right hiding here. Got to the door and asked, lads, come on, we don't need to do this. Can we just have the stag back and we'll never see each other again, that's fine. One guy spat in my face and the other guy pepper sprayed me.
What?
Yeah. And now, pepper spray. At least it's off the list now.
You've done it.
Yeah. So just
what's it like? What's it like?
It is horrendous. It is horrendous, right?
And
it
got my God.
Right into the corner of my eye. It wasn't just like kind of around the eye area. It was directly to the eyeball, which was really painful. After about 2.5 minutes, I sort of came around like, of blindness. I was like, oh, right, need to go and get my jacket. So this is an interesting one. Right, gents, I know you pepper sprayed me. I know you beat up the stag. And I swear to God I'm going to go, please have my jackets. And unbelievably, we got our jackets. I was then pickpocketed. So I've lost about 200 quid and about 5 bank cards.
Yeah, good. I'm tapping my nose at this point as well. No. By the sounds of it, I could believe anything. Yeah. Jeez.
Two lads who got taxis home were asked to put numbers into card machines in the cabs. One was done for 400 quid, another one was done for 200 quid. Yeah, like, the culture out there sucks, quite frankly, especially, like, the late-night culture. It's a violent, nasty place.
But nice church.
Bloody beautiful church. Yeah, it's got spires, which are great, but if you can't see them because you've been pepper sprayed, difficult. Difficult. But anyway, good for... This is not a joke. As the spray was hitting my eye, I was thinking, this is going to make a cracking story.
And you were right on that, Jay.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what we did.
Wow.
I warned you.
So, Tim, has there been some rugby happening?
Yeah, while you were off on that stag, I was working at Gloucester and at Exeter, two outstanding games of rugby, which I think... just an outstanding weekend of rugby, whichever league you look at. Well, I mean, look across to the Pro 14, firstly. Connacht qualifying for the playoffs and for Champions Cup. All four Irish provinces will be in the Champions Cup next year, which is an amazing achievement.
Yes.
Connacht beat Cardiff. Cardiff will feel very hard done by with that TMO decision that didn't go their way. Quite a controversial one. I mean, I've watched the video a bunch of times. I still don't know how they didn't decide that the Cardiff left winger didn't score in the corner, but I'm delighted for Cardiff. And Jack Carty, the fly half, is the in-form Irish fly half. He's absolutely bossing it.
So you reckon World Cup starter, yeah? Over Sexton? Sexton out.
Oh, yeah.
Sexton out. Good.
And what else happened in the Pro 14? Your boys, Phil.
Yeah. Ulster, big win away at Edinburgh. Really important win away at Edinburgh. I've seen the Ballacoon and the Little Try.
But you're not meant to be very good. I don't know how this has happened.
Ulster are just building our hopes up until they smash them on rocks in a few weeks' time.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Well, it looks like we might not even get to the playoffs. Benison suffered a loss.
But with Edinburgh also losing.
That might work.
But Scarlets won, big win. So it's very, very tight in Conference B. There's 2 points separating Treviso in third to Scarlets in fifth.
Yeah, but you are right, Tim. There were some absolute bangers this week.
Amazing.
I thought the Bath Gloucester game looked bloody intense. The Leicester game was awesome.
The finish to the Leicester game was pretty brutal.
Well, the whole thing. I mean, it's just like it was sort of like four seasons of rugby in one game. Like, you saw the absolute stupidity of both teams. You saw the absolute brilliance which they're capable of. You saw it all.
Totally agree, and I can't wait to talk about it. But I just want to compliment you, JB, on your Rugby Dungeon podcast in the wake of the Israel Folau story, as and when it broke. I thought you brought some rare nuance and some rare and a lot of reason and respectful and sometimes disagreeing, but respectfully so, opinions. I thought you brought them together really well, mate.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's a bit of a different format. We had listeners call in, which is completely different. But the thing is, the people that follow us, I mean, like, they don't follow us because they hate our guts. They follow us because, you know, they quite like, you know, talking about rugby, so on and so forth. And on Twitter, it's just not really a good enough format in order to have these conversations. So I thought it was important that people get to talk about this. And that's what it was, really.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I thought the guys that phoned in put across some very interesting opinions on the matter.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about Israel Folau is we all agree on about 99% of it. Everyone. It's wrong. He shouldn't have done it. He has done it. And then where we start to diverge is, well, what do we do with him now? And I think that's basically the difference that everyone has.
Yeah, and you're right. And unfortunately, and you hit the nail on the head with Twitter, for example, as I've said, it's a cesspit. But on that 1%, if you disagree from some orthodoxy or some consensus or at least some Twitter consensus or some bubble, if you disagree on the 1%, then you get castigated as someone who's disagreeing on the 100%. And I just found that really it's just like you say, it's not a place to have a chat.
No, you can't do it. You don't have enough characters. You can't put over a good argument unless you do a Twitter thread. And you don't want to be that guy. So, you know, it just doesn't work. But my basic thought on this is, and this sounds so simplistic, but you know, if you don't get on with someone, we have different views. For instance, you and I, Tim, might have different political views, right?
The best thing
for you and I to do when we have a beer is maybe talk about the things that we agree on. And I think there's such a rush to highlight where everyone has differences and then push these differences more and more and more. And then you get other players commenting and then, you know, people want to know what they think. And then there's a list of players who've said naughty things. And before you know it, you know, they're using this as a wedge. And the narrative at the moment is, you know, rugby's got a bit of a crisis. I couldn't think of any less of a crisis, because even though you've got these unsavoury things which have been said, the response from the majority of players and the unions and everything else has been broadly right on this subject. In fact, it shows me exactly what an inclusive game it is. You've got like Joe Marlow, James Haskell, they are on the right side of the argument. And, you know, in some ways, if there's some good to come out of this, it is that we know exactly where we stand now with the majority of people in the game.
I don't think we needed this incident to know that, because that is rugby. And so I could totally agree with people that have sort of said rugby's got a problem, which was, I think, was one of the kind of narratives of a lot of the stories over the weekend, a lot of the newspaper articles over the weekend. Rugby's got a real problem. No, rugby does not have a problem. Rugby is the solution, as it always has been. Rugby is a melting pot where, God, I'll play with bricklayers and high finance bankers on the same team.
Exactly.
I'll play with immigrants and natives. I've played with black and white or whatever, and gay and straight. That is rugby, and that's what I love about
it. You're there to focus. That's why you basically come together, because you're focused on one thing. You've got one target to achieve. So, you know, it's just not. I guess it's just not a particularly great thing to happen in the sport in general. I guess,
of course, yeah.
You're right. And just as an update to the overall position, so the ARU have made a statement to say that they have notified Israel Folau of a most serious high level breach in the code of conduct. And they are effectively terminating his contract, subject to, he's got 48 hours to appeal, or request an appeal.
So as I understand it as well, he said his faith is more important than his career.
That is basically what he said now. His statement is, I live for God now. So, he says, I love playing footy, and if it goes down that pass, I will definitely miss it. But my faith in Jesus Christ is what comes first. So he has made a very strong signal that he's aware of the consequences of his actions, and I think was previously aware of the consequences of his actions when he put the tweet, and believes his faith and doing it for his faith, putting that tweet out or that Instagram picture for his faith was more important.
Yeah. Can I make a comment on Polynesian culture in general, please?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go on.
So, when this sort of broke, I reached out to Dan Leo, because I was like, I know, you know, people on the islands take their culture, their religion very, very seriously. But I just want...
Well, Phil, you must have played with plenty of Pacific Islanders. I know I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a few very good, like, a few
This was no surprise in that sense, in terms of what the views they hold are.
Yes. So, this is really interesting, right? Because, you know, I didn't really appreciate it. So, the conversation went something along these lines, which was, if you're in a village over there, and this is not to in any way defend it, but maybe it helps us just understand people of different backgrounds and different communities, right? if you're over there, your main source of information, right, is the church. Most people are tithed to the church. That means they give 10% of their income. Now, you've got to be pretty invested to give 10% of your income. And if that's where most of your information's coming from, you know, you're going to have different views to, say, me, who's continually on Twitter. Now, people will respond to that, and they will say, well, Israel Folau grew up in Australia, Billy Vunipola grew up in Wales. And this is true. But you're still surrounded by people from those communities. You know, those are your support structures, those are the people you spend your time with. And I just think it's really important that we put it into perspective where these lads are coming from, what they give to the game, what they're like as individuals. I mean, the Billy Vunipola stuff is interesting because he is a phenomenally nice man. By any measure, he is a good bloke. Generous with his time. Just, you know, a good guy. So I think it's just important to remember where they come from and the differences. And the last thing that was said was, it's taken the islands about 100 years to get used to Christianity. But it never actually existed there before. It was rammed down their throats by mercenaries. And now they sort of practice it as much as they do. The world's moved on. And, you know, these views which they were told to believe in for so long are just no longer cool and trendy. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of context. And from my point of view, I just wish we could find some way forward where we go, yeah, we are different, but, you know, there must be room in the game for people with strong religious beliefs and also for gay people too.
The problem I kind of have is that, not with that, I'm with you, I understand exactly what you're saying, but one of the issues I kind of have is that a lot of people will hear you say that and think you are legitimising hatred, that they would put it. And this is kind of what I mean with there is a nuance here. So on the Israel Folau thing, I disagree with his point of view. I don't believe in God. I don't want to put anyone in a position where they feel upset, hurt, they can't be themselves or whatever. And so I don't agree with that. I also feel sorry for Israel Folau because he believes this stuff. But in saying I feel sorry for him or I feel compassion for him, some people have accused me of being kind of for it in some way.
No. I think the thing which changed my mind on all of this is I'm not religious at the slightest, but some of the best people that I know are religious. Yeah. And you think, well, you know, maybe it does work for people. You know, so just, I guess you've just got to allow them to be who they are.
And I would say the biggest difference, the biggest kind of difference is, like, I walked down Market Street a couple of weeks ago, and there was someone on a loudhailer with a speaker next to them in the centre of Manchester reading an extract from Leviticus about repenting. There are people that knock on my door and hand me leaflets with stuff about needing to repent. Mm. And I throw it in the bin, I ignore them, I'll shut the door or whatever.
Go.
Difference being with Israel Folau, and I think this is where there's nuance, is he got his social media profile off the back of being an international rugby player. And that's why it has to be taken more seriously than someone who knocks on your door. Because I'm not suddenly saying that someone in should be stopped from reading Leviticus in Manchester High Street because it might offend people. I don't care. I'll just ignore them. And anyone saying it might upset my kids and stuff, my kids get their values and stuff from me. And so I wouldn't want to stop that. I prefer hearing what people really think. I'm actually for more speech. When I hear hate speech, I want more speech, or quote unquote hate speech. It's like David Lammy, the Labour MP. I'm glad he was allowed to go on TV and draw the comparison between someone that killed 6 million Jews and an elected politician with who he disagreed with, because now I know exactly the kind of man David Lammy is. But as I say, the profile that Israel Folau has got is what is different here, and why it came needed to be dealt with in some way. Do I agree that he should have been sacked for it? Well, you know, I'm okay with the ARU deciding that that's what they want to do as a private entity. I might have shown a little bit more compassion and used it as an opportunity to try and help him. But, you know, I understand why people would disagree with that and why the ARU disagree with that.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty much where I'm at. Phil's been very quiet. I kind of... I'm genuinely curious.
This is not a Phil subject.
No.
Well, it is to a degree, because there's a contractual arrangement between two parties, the ARU and Israel Folau. There were conditions to that contract that he was well aware of and has broken them on multiple times. And I listened to Raylene Castle's statement today, where she's spoken about speaking to him and giving him multiple written and verbal warnings about it, and he's continued to do it. So I have no problem. What they say. So there's, I think, a few people have been trying to say that, or make out that the ARU are trying to stop Israel Folau from having this belief.
No, of course.
And I don't believe.
That's a false argument. You're right.
Exactly. I think that's wrong. But what has to happen is, if you make statements like this, there are consequences. You can think whatever you want. You can also say whatever you want. But exactly as you mentioned before, Tim, there are certain things that you say that there will be consequences. Folau was fully aware of those consequences and did it anyway.
Here's a more interesting question for you. Is he going to play again? And for who?
Great question. Because he is one of the most valuable players in the world. He is unquestionably one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
There's a few people suggesting this might have been a ruse.
No.
This whole
That's
thing.
What I heard.
I'm not having that. No chance.
I'm also not having it.
And I've heard, right, so...
rubbish.
I've heard a rumour, which has gone around a lot, about him going to Toulon, and this was a convenient way to get out of his contract. Now,
well, Montpellier have formed with a slightly different approach to this, don't they?
With Joannoussen. Yeah. I don't think that now, because, like, if he said, I'm a soldier of God or whatever it is, off I go. Probably just did this. But I tell you what, if he did do it for that move, this is the greatest troll of all time. I mean, like, it's just a different level. But I wonder where he's going to play next. That's more important to me.
And what sport? Because he's got rugby league, AFL.
NRL have said he can't play there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, Salford City Reds?
Salford would have him.
Well, I mean, yeah, because let's be clear, World Rugby haven't got involved in this. This is, as you say, a contractual decision between... This is a business decision, ultimately.
Correct.
You know,
yeah.
Cold, hard
and business. That's not to demean what the ARU are doing. That's just being factual about it, as you say, Phil. Mm. Because he hasn't broken a law. He hasn't hasn't done anything which World Rugby have felt they need to step in and stop him from doing... playing rugby full stop. So it's interesting. One thing I will just say that sort of bubbled around this is, and as I say, I have an element of compassion for him because, as you say, when you hear him say the words he's saying, he is literally, wherever he is sat right now, people said he was being hateful. And yes, that is kind of offences taken, not given. I don't think he genuinely 100% believes what he's saying. I would say it's wrong.
Yeah. He wants to help people. That's the way I'm reading him doing this.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what I would say. I wish there was a little bit more good faith all round in the discussion. As in, if people had gone, oh my God, he actually thinks this. What a poor man. He sat there thinking this. Mm. And we know it's ridiculous. He thinks he's helping and he's just making it worse. He's not sat there going, I'm going to say something that's going to hurt people. He thinks he's telling the truth. I find that sad. I feel compassion for him as a result. I wish there was also a bit more good faith. Like I say, on Twitter, people will twist and that 1% and mischaracterize, misrepresent. That, like, for example, a lot of people were saying he was saying people should burn in hell. No, he said they will.
Yeah.
And language matters and it's different. And sorry to go on. I'm not going to name who it was. But there was one person I just thought was a bit cruel. One person in the rugby world who tweeted out and sort of said, oh, blah, 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 they've pinned their colours to the mast. I'm going to pin mine to the mast. I'm an atheist. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think this. And then he says, if you have any evidence for God, ping it over. My DMs are open. And then it was a real...
You don't change people's minds by behaving like that.
I thought it was really like sarcastic and nasty to... And, you know, yeah, exactly. You're not going to change a single mind. Like, that's exactly where I was getting to, what my thrust of my point was that you've just made a lot better, a lot more succinctly.
Yeah. Will he play again, though, Tim? That's what I want to know.
I think he will.
I do not care about any of his views. I want to see him catching high balls.
Yes. I would like to see him again. It'd be an interesting... I think France would be the best thing.
Yes, France, kind of,
There's an element of... And it's totally different, but there's an element...
Who do you think you'd breathe or Perpignan?
Well, I was thinking this. There's an element of the Paddy Jackson, Stuart Alden thing that I think the best thing for him, if he wants to continue playing, would be to go to France.
Yeah. And actually, you know, we might say his views are stupid, but, you know, he's a very good player. He's not doing it on his own, by all accounts. So, you know, there could be something in it. Maybe if you want to catch those high balls, better start praying.
Yeah.
That'd be my view.
I think we've done that to death, haven't we?
No more Israel Folau ever again, please. Unless it's about rugby.
Or until the next time he posts an Instagram post.
Please, just unfollow him. Unfollow him. Everyone unfollow him. Right.
Sorry. The good faith thing extends that there are actual rugby players who both liked the post and also are real advocates for like gay rugby, for example.
Yep, and I actually know one. I actually spoke to one of them about it. So that's an absolute statement of fact there, Tim.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is there's nuance everywhere.
Indeed. Right.
Not on Twitter.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Can we talk about Tigers, please?
Yeah, what a game.
What a banger of a game. It was awesome. Of course, we didn't watch this live, did we? Because we were busy beating up on 50-year-old men.
Oh, yeah, you guys played, didn't you?
Yeah, we played Friday night Veterans Rugby. It was good fun.
It was more. They were far more veteran than we were anticipating them being.
Yeah.
me and JB dominated, truth be told.
It's pretty dominating. Tigers. This game was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
So good.
You don't get a game like this if there's no relegation, do you?
No, I still don't know what to do about the relegation thing yet.
France have two really strong divisions. The third division is pretty tidy as well and professional.
Well,
so just like, no, it's decent though.
Yeah, but the standard, like the coaching's rubbish. It's not professional.
No, okay, yeah. I get that. There's ways you can raise the standards all round, but raising the bottom rather than cutting it off halfway, it should be the focus. And for exactly the reason like we've just had. And people have said, oh, you know, the relegation will inhibit the style of rugby. Look at the way Bristol played. Look at the way both these teams played.
I mean, Gulliver just goes around the edge of the Leicester wing. I can't remember who it was. Like, he wasn't there. Was it Oliver Fella? Oh, my good God.
Veronica Gulliver, who is 35 years old as well.
35. 35.
He doesn't move like a lot of 35-year-olds.
No, Guy Thompson was excellent.
Guy Thompson was brilliant, and I thought it was very appropriate for him to get the final turnover.
Yeah.
Or the final penalty.
He is probably the only Leicester player that's come out of this year with any credit.
I don't think he's looked himself.
In the pack, yes.
A lot of times.
Certainly.
I said I don't think he's looked as good as he has done in the past this season.
I think he's so important for them because he carries, he's dynamic, you know,
you're basing that on the Newcastle game we just saw, because I agree with you, and he showed it, but I don't think that has been the case all season.
No, I think it has. I think he's been doing all right.
He's had a couple of injuries this year as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, they need a carrier, and when he's in the team, he gives them that edge. And I tell you what, I also liked how Newcastle started the game with a missed kick instantly into a penalty. I just thought, like, this sums them up. They're a good team, but just tiny little mistakes.
Yeah, fine margins.
Yeah.
Well, it was an interception for one.
Oh, God, that was horrific. And Toby Flood got an absolute beating. All game.
He did. So it has been said, I saw people discussing it online and stuff, and they're saying that penalty at the end never gets given unless it's a penalty at the end of the match near a line.
I do tend to agree with that. I think, it depends, because if it's... There's times when that penalty doesn't get given when it should be given, when the team... I'm just trying to get this the right way around in my head. But the team who are currently behind should be getting that penalty, if that makes sense. Referees seem reluctant to give the final penalty when the final penalty will result in a team scoring to win the game.
I'm just having a look at the table now. I'm guessing that's Newcastle done, pretty much.
Yeah, I think relegation's done now, isn't it? What is it, 9 points?
So there's three, it's 7 points. There's three games left.
Oh, okay, points, 3 games. Ugh.
So, yeah, because...
Worcester win a game, it's done.
So this weekend was so important and so bad for Newcastle Falcons, because obviously Leicester Tigers, that was an 8-pointer or a 10-pointer, whatever you want to call it. Bristol beating Saracens and Worcester hammering Sale, that it has really changed the look of the bottom four teams.
Yeah.
I had a feeling this is going to happen to Sale. I had a feeling.
Well, it's funny because a week ago, Sale were talking about top four.
Well, they were,
actually. And we were talking about Worcester as getting dragged into the relegation.
Yeah, and now Sale are in eighth position, only just ahead of Bristol.
I know. Well, Dime said last week, he says he doesn't think that they're good enough for fourth. It must be awful to be right.
Yes, but he would have been saying that thinking we are going to get top six.
God,
and now top six is...
Well, it's not.
It's absolutely possible.
Sale got to play Bath.
Any team, including Bristol, through to ninth can get top six. It would be a challenge for Bristol to do it, but it is still possible.
Just back to the Newcastle one. Again, it's sort of linked in with the Tom Youngs one last week. A lot of people have said, how did Toby Flood getting cleaned out and having to go for a HIA? How wasn't that dealt with a red card?
It's interesting because we are seeing almost identical incidents being officiated differently week on week, which is the worst of all worlds.
It is
in my mind.
Right, so the one hit on Flood was the O'Connor one, and I was looking at that, I was thinking that could be a red.
Yeah,
that could be a red. A different day, a different ref. You know, they've just come off from some sort of directive course or whatever that they've been on, and it was head to head, and you caused concussion because you were reckless. You were reckless because you weren't in control. So it's a consistency.
But again, I think the one thing we can probably take from last week and this, the inconsistency is maddening sometimes, and as you're scratching your head. But yeah. If Toby Flood is forced to be holding up his own body weight, which he wasn't, he was flopping on the tackle player, then there's a target, and then these will happen less. And this has got to be the preventative in this particular instance has got to be the route rather than punitive.
How do you mean, Tim?
So he wasn't supporting his body weight. So if you're supporting your body weight, as in you're still jackling for the ball, but your legs are holding you up, there is a bigger target to hit.
It should be penalty to Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
two penalties. One to Tigers, one to
punitive. Or if there's penalised first. It all happens in a snap in a second. It's really hard.
Yeah, and I think actually in this incident, I don't think Flood was trying to... I don't think he flopped to try and steal or slow down the ball. I think he flopped because he saw three men coming at them and thought, if I try and stay on my feet here, I'm going to blow a knee out or I'm going to have a massive, horrendous injury.
It is so dangerous.
So I think Flood found himself at the wrong place at the wrong time.
It might be one of the most... I mean, you're so vulnerable and you can't see what's happening. That's the thing. So you know you're going to get hit by some absolute animals and you don't know when it's coming. Yeah, it's a tough one. But yeah, penalty to Tigers would have prevented that.
Yeah, and if We have been saying this for a little while, but if the Jackal is officiated slightly better, so refs are really clear and strict that anyone not fully supporting the body weight, it will be an immediate penalty against them. Mm. It could cut it out. I think that's where you're going, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, exactly, precisely. But such a tense game. You can't help thinking with the way that the games have gone, that basically relegation is now not the big debate. The debate is in the middle of the table.
For sixth? The battle for sixth, the battle for fourth.
And top four, and fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth, sixth.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just realised that Wasps are fifth. I thought Northampton would have been fifth.
So Northampton got a very good win away at Harlequins, which, again dents Quinn's chances of top four, although they're still in the box seat. But Wasps win away at Exeter. So, Tim, you were at this game.
Yeah.
I've not seen anything. So, can you talk us through it?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Wasps were like Wasps. They were defending with real urgency. Their defence has been a shambles all season, but they just seem tough. And fair play, Brad Shields was a big part of that. He was very good. Nathan Hughes, Dai Young spoke very honestly after last week's win against Worcester, and he said that he had to, I can't remember whether it's a kick up the backside or poke in the eye. He said, sometimes you need to pat players on the back, sometimes you need to poke them in the eye, and I needed to poke Nathan in the eye and tell him, you're not playing well enough, this is not good enough.
That is an innovative solution to make someone play better, a good poke in the eye. A kick up the backside, I can see that working.
Maybe pepper spray.
Why not?
So I'm just looking at the stats.
He was immense.
So the Wasps' back row defensively, Brad Shields, 23 tackles, missed none. Nazim Carr, 27 tackles, missed one. And Nathan Hughes, 20 tackles. So all three of their starting back row have made more than 20 tackles.
Yeah, they were huge. They were huge. Nathan Hughes with the ball was destructive. It was immense. And Joe Simpson was...
Yeah.
He was so good. I couldn't believe how good he was.
So Joe Simpson was... I think I'm right in saying this. So 21 tackles, which is the most for a scrum half in the Premiership.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God. Yeah, that's some... they're a funny one, Wasps. I mean...
It's a funny one because you don't like them.
It's not they don't like him. Oh, let's not talk about Wasps rugby. Let the FCA investigation and the salary cap breaches first.
No, let's talk positive.
Talk positive.
Oh, I actually, in the pre-match interview, I had a sort of decision to make. Do I bring up the financial stuff with Dai Young? Because it's a big story in the game. And I just actually went, no, that will come out in the fullness of time. I wanted to make it all about the rugby. And if we keep it all on the rugby... Dai Young looked so proud and so happy at the end of it, and rightly so as well, because he has been shorn of some big players for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
Had rotten luck, and they've still got some big players out. Jimmy Gopeth, what he said, will come back the next game. Have that one for fantasy rugby draft playoff positions. And and they've still got Tommy Taylor and a couple of others out, but when they're big guns, Vili Leroux looked a bit more like himself. He's been awful this year compared to how he can be. So
how was Sopoanga? Because obviously he's only had a couple of games back now.
Yeah, and he looked like he picked up a knock in the first half and kind of shook it off. And no, he did really well. It was just they really knocked Exeter off of Exeter's game,
which is tough to do.
Ever win at Sandy Park.
When was the last time? Wow. When was the last time Exeter lost at Sandy Park?
14 months ago in the league.
It might be in any game, actually, but
14 months.
Yeah, was that the Worcester game?
Yeah.
Wow.
What is the best... Do Tigers have the best record at home? This year, but all the time. Year. They had a stretch of like 2.5 years of not being beaten at home.
Yeah, and that rings a bell.
And then they got beat by London Irish.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah.
First time London Irish beat him in 17 years at Welford Road, or something ridiculous, or maybe ever.
Oh yeah, we had Jeb Sinclair on the phone after that.
Yeah, we did.
So yeah, that's very, very impressive win for Wasps, and it moves them So they are ahead of Northampton Saints. So right now, Quinn's in fourth, Gloucester in third, who look like, well, they have secured third. Saracens obviously lost to Bristol in second, and Exeter on 77 points, so 9 points ahead, even in spite of that loss, in first place.
Mm. Are you also at the Gloucester game, yeah, Tim?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Amazing. Tell us about that after telling everyone about Akuma rugby shirts, please. Go.
We have Egg Chasers Akuma rugby shirts, which you can see pinned on our Twitter account, twitter.com/rugbypodcast. They are, well, we've got match fit shirts, we've got casual shirts, whatever you want. You can we can get some stash on us from
Akuma rugby shops.
akumashops.com/eggchasers.
Yeah.
That's akumashops.com/eggchasers.
And yeah, you can look like one of the army of fans, and they are an army because these things are going very, very quickly.
Yes, they are. Also, I did get a message earlier from friend of the pod, Steve Parrott, who on match days runs the Exeter Chiefs Twitter account in very humorous fashion as well, I might add. And he said, when you're mentioning Cornerstone, can I just say the one thing I really like about those razors, because Steve has one.
Of course.
Is he said, but it's something you don't mention. It's the fact you can stand them upright on their base.
This is true. This
is a very good point.
Yeah.
It sounds minor, but it really appeals to his neat and tidy mind. So, yes, Cornerstone Razors, because you listen to us, you get a great offer on a incredible German precision-engineered razor. And because you listen to us, you get a free aluminium engraved shaft. Get your initials on it so everyone knows it's yours. Stand it on its end on the shelf in your bathroom, as Steve says. And you can get that with your cartridge of six razors. With no obligation, but we think you'll love it and want to continue for just £4 because you listen to us. £4 for a free engraved shaft. Razors delivered to you in a presentation box. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's www.cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Wonderful stuff, Tim. Wonderful stuff. You know, yes. Yeah, Bath. I watched this game, watched the whole thing in the airport on catch up. This looked awesome, mate.
So good. I mean,
Before we talk about the rugby, talk about the atmosphere at King's Home.
I was just about to say, King's Home, when it's full, there's no better atmosphere in English rugby. There's others which come very, very close or rival it, but that shed, the noise that comes out of that place is amazing.
You know, I was thinking today when I was watching this game, I was like, I think this is my favourite fixture of the year. Bath away at Gloucester.
Yeah. And Bath have had a really good run there, and I know from when Nick, my brother, played at Bath, he said he used to love playing at King's Home so much. The stick you get from the shed, and he absolutely loved it. And I think it does bring the best out of Bath, which it did, particularly in that first 20 minutes. They were immense.
Yeah, so they scored two early tries, didn't they, to take quite a handsome lead.
Yeah, and had a chance at a third. And they had a penalty kick. Freddie Burns was just running the show.
He really 70, was.
17-0 up.
Freddie Burns looked like Danny Cipriani at times. That's how good he was. Rodri McConachy, this guy is a class act. Everything he seems to do is spot on.
Yeah, what a find.
Isn't he just?
When you think you've got Anthony Watson and Rokkandungouni out.
Yeah.
Anthony Watson, by the way, was doing the team warm-up. So he is going to be back soon. Although, I'll tell you what, his left calf the difference in size, it was less than half the size, his left calf.
Really?
And his right calf. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's been Achilles issues, hasn't it?
Yeah. So he's obviously not been able to do anything on his left leg. It was like two different legs from two different people.
That's interesting, because normally, if at the end of these kind of injuries, the injured part normally ends up actually stronger because you do so much rehab and so much kind of prep work.
What was his injury exactly?
Snapped Achilles.
Achilles, yeah.
One of the worst.
And he snapped, I think he had surgery on it. He then was doing a photo shoot or some advertising shoot for some NFL thing. And re-snapped it.
Working for the NFL?
Yeah, I think it was the NFL coming to the UK. There was some crossover piece, and he was just doing a photo shoot, doing nothing really, and it re-snapped.
Oh. So NFL's interesting. There's a few injuries in NFL which just popped to mind, which are completely random. So we're talking of random NFL injuries. Ever heard of Orlando Brown?
I'm not an NFL guy.
Tim, have you ever heard of Orlando Brown?
No. He was I don't know. Anyway.
He was a huge lineman for the Browns. He was hit in the face and partly blinded by one of the penalty flags.
Oh, wow.
What?
What?
Yeah, do you
hear the penalty flag?
They throw penalty flags.
Just like a little piece of cloth.
Yeah, he was hit. It went through his helmet, hit his eye, partly blinded, had to get paid off by the Browns. Another one, left tackle Jason Peters, I think it's Jason Peters, for the Eagles, fell off a mobility scooter out for the season.
Why was he in a mobility scooter?
Because he's recovering from injury, so he's using a mobility scooter to get around, and he fell off the thing he was there to help him with. I think he sued the manufacturer.
That's what Ellis Gendry was doing last summer.
Oh, yeah, he had his
mobility scooter. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Two random injuries.
Oh, speaking of, you mentioned NFL. Let's just very quickly, we haven't had a podcast since Christian Wade was assigned to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. I mean, let's just see how it pans out. Everyone's acting like it is a big achievement. It's a huge achievement. Let's not downplay it. But he's still a long way away from playing an NFL game. Let's put it that way.
So, because I don't know NFL, has he signed as like a training squad or a practice squad?
I think so.
Well, the first part of that is yes. So there is a 53-man roster that's the team that goes out on match days on Sunday. There's 10 more players that are in a practice squad. They sometimes have an injury reserve list as well. Now, when you're on a practice squad, you can be picked by any other team to go into a 53-man roster on another team.
Okay.
But Christian Wade is on the international player pathway, where they have four spots every year, which are funded centrally by the NFL, four spots for guys to be assigned to teams as an extra practice squad member. So whereas most teams have 10 players on their practice squad, the Buffalo Bills have an 11th spot, which they don't have to pay for out of their salary cap.
Now, I'm not saying that Christian Wade had any visions of what the NFL was going to be like, or, you know, really thought, well, I'm sure when he thought it through, he was thinking maybe the LA Chargers, or maybe the Miami Dolphins, and palm trees and beaches. The Bills, I don't think, would have been high up on his list.
No, there were four teams that he could have gone to. One of them was the Jacksonville Jaguars. One of them was the Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
So he had a 50% chance of being in Florida.
Devastated.
He ended up in Buffalo.
Buffalo it is, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But basically, there's a lot of people saying, and I don't want to demean the accomplishment of what he's managed to do, to even be someone that's gone through the pathway program is pretty special. But there's a lot of people saying he's been signed by the Buffalo Bills. That makes it sound like Buffalo Bills had their choice of everyone that's coming out of college that's a free agent, and they picked Christian Wade. No, they've been assigned Christian Wade. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet any money on him playing in the NFL. If he does, it will be truly remarkable.
Yeah, I'm sure we did speak about this, actually. I'm sure we spoke about we did. He's in a really difficult position, as in the position he wants to play, running back, which is what I assume he's going to be. Just so competitive.
Good looks.
And these are guys that can run like 10 second 100 metres and they're 18 stone.
they're unbelievable. They are unbelievable. But that, you know, that's a really good summary of what happened at Gloucester and Bath.
Oh, yeah.
I think we nailed Gloucester and Bath.
Well, the main summary of what happened at Gloucester and Bath is, it would be unfair to the rest of the team, but Sippers, again. Now,
Are you in the fan club?
I always have been in the fan club, but here's maybe what I was... So I was struck as I interviewed him for the Man of the Match chat afterwards. In the back of my head, I was thinking, I'm going to have to eat humble pie on the podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
As he was talking, because I remember having that same thought, in the same way that when you were pepper sprayed, you were going, great story. I was thinking, I'm going to have to say this on the podcast.
Quick question.
Because I was so impressed by him as a man, the way he spoke, the unselfishness and the generosity with which he spoke about his teammates and about the organisation and everything else. I thought, actually, the issues that I've always had with Sippers is that, and used to make me think, maybe he shouldn't be in the England. He shouldn't be. I'm happy if he's not in the England squad because he's just going to cause issues. I actually think he's a different man now.
Agreed. Did you float the idea of the sip mitts? The
sips stick mitts.
Yeah, sip. Yeah, and I think it was sip mitts in the end.
No, wasn't it tips?
Hang on. Were they tippers?
Tippers. Yeah.
Yeah, tippers.
So you go from tippers, the slip mitts.
Talking about the thimble shape bits that go on the end of your fingers, stick mitt.
Yeah, it's a training and and playing hand system.
Yeah, and it's graduated from very slippy to from very sticky to very slippy. So you get better and better and better.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, we were thinking of player businesses, and the business for sippers would be, you wear gloves because he's so good at catching the ball, he needs an extra challenge, so it makes the ball slipperier, so you can't catch it, and you train with them, and then during the game you replace the slippy gloves with sticky thimbles, and then you should have an exponential increase in your skill level.
Absolutely.
Didn't this come because he was wearing tape on the ends of his fingers?
Someone was wearing tape. It was Hastings. Adam Hastings.
Yes, it was.
Adam Hastings, that's right.
Yeah.
I also think Gloucester fans now, I would like them to start wearing golden wristbands.
Platinum wristbands.
Yeah. And then when he scores, they've got to shake. There should be a celebration where they all shake their wrists in the air.
Yeah. Oh, no, put the wrists in front of them like they're being handcuffed.
Oh, even better. Golden wrist. Incorrect. Platinum. Yeah, that's what. If I become a Gloucester fan, I'm going to buy some golden wrists.
If you become a Gloucester fan.
I might become a Gloucester fan now just so I can wear my golden wrists.
He can't do any more. But of course, Cocker's Law. Who would he replace? Who would he replace in the England squad?
All of them.
Every one of them.
Forward and Farrell. Go.
I would be okay having 3 tens in the squad.
He needs to be the man, I think.
Yeah, he's not going to be the man.
He should be though. That would be my contention. But he was ace. He is ace though, isn't he? He's so good.
He's very, very good.
Well, just look at the difference between Gloucester and Wasps, and that's not to put it all down to there's a whole number of different reasons, but there's definitely a correlation. Correlation doesn't always equal causation, but I think to some degree it definitely does.
Yes. on this occasion.
So any idea how they're going to get Danny Cipriani paid for next year and the year after that? Has this sort of made sense to anyone? Or are they just going to sort of cross this bridge when they come to it?
What do you mean?
Well, he signed a new deal.
Yeah.
He's probably playing at the moment for below market value because of, World Cup year.
Yeah.
And staying in England. Gloucester know they're going to have to pay him a lot of money, I assume.
Well, he's signed an extension now.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how are they going to fund that? Someone's going to have to be leaving in the summer to fund that.
Yeah. There'll be a few ins and outs. I've not got it in front of me, but there's a list of ins and outs going on. So.
Yeah. And, it's an expensive squad. It looks like a damn good squad, too.
It is a very good, very good squad.
Their South African forwards are gnarly.
They are, aren't they? Mostart's a beast.
Yeah.
So there's four players leaving listed this year. So Paddy McAllister going to Connacht.
Yeah.
Ben Vellacott is going to Wasps.
Yep.
Tom Savage is going to Japan.
Is he?
And Denman has left or is leaving to Coventry.
Is that nearly Danny Cipriani's money there?
If you put all four together, maybe.
Maybe.
And their signings, actually. The only guy they've brought in is Jamal Ford Robinson.
Great player.
And they've promoted
half
a dozen players from their academy. Oh, and sorry, they are also bringing Joe Simpson in.
Yes.
In the swap deal for Vellacott.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some more business, I think, before they can get under that cap. That would be my guess. I don't know.
Oh, Billy Vanapola's just put out a...
Oh, God. Go on.
So there was a statement of earlier today from both Billy and
Wasps. Oh, okay. Well, we can probably deal with that off the back of the Bristol game in a bit. Just very briefly. Nothing major to see here. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your flow. It just popped up on my timeline.
No, I think the most important thing from that is that there's no further charge from Wasps, from Saracens. Saracens have spoke with him at length. They've issued him a warning, and the matter finishes there, which... Yeah. I think he's right.
Good. Gloucester, I think they can win the Premiership, the whole thing.
So they'd have to beat Saracens away?
Yep.
Happy with that?
Or Exeter away?
Or Exeter away.
No, it'll be, no, going to be Saracens.
They are Saracens. Okay. Yeah.
Well, they certainly don't fear.
So that they would prefer that as well, because Saracens, there is a chance that Saracens will be fighting a... Well, there's a good chance that Saracens will be fighting a Champions Cup semi-final and final in the run-up to this game. So,
well, final, anyway.
Final, yes, in the playoffs.
I mean, they've got a lot of forward power. The back's super exciting. Oh, imagine Sippers doing one on Farrell. Imagine that.
They did that at the weekend without Jason Woodward, without Ollie Thorley.
I thought Thorley played, no?
No. He's injured. Not available for selection.
Who was the... is it Tom Seabrook, the winger, then?
Yeah.
He's one of,
the Gloucester groundsman deserves a bit of credit for making a slightly wavy line that Tom Seabrook went in on.
Perfect. Ideal. What was I saying? Gloucester could win it. Okay. Right, okay, fine. I think we have done Gloucester, and Gloucester now will win the Premiership. That's the end of that.
Good.
Good. Sorted. Last one then. Should we talk about the Bristol game? This looked pretty impressive. Let's not talk about Sale, because I can't remember what happened.
You blacked it out.
I didn't see the game. I can't really comment on it.
I did notice on your Rugby Dungeon discussion you used "we".
Yes, several times.
Sale again.
I can't imagine I would have done that.
Multiple times.
Nope. Not to me. I think I might have meant "we", as in, like, you know, sometimes I might work there or something. You know, at that point, it is okay for me to say "we". But, you know, as you well know, I'm a neutral. Do you know? No, forget it. Let's do Bristol.
Well, Worcester fans will not be happy about that. They bossed it.
They are. I said, you know, we had a caller who supports Worcester. And I said, this is basically the best Worcester team they've had in about 10 years. It's a damn good team. I think Solomons has done a good job. This always worried me, this game. And I think the Worcester could potentially do this to anyone.
I love Sam Lewis.
Yeah.
He's had a great season.
I mean, they're just good, aren't they? They're well-drilled. They know what they're doing.
They're going to stay up. Well, they haven't, but they are going to stay up.
It's looking ever more likely.
The bottom three teams are so good. That's the thing. You really feel the salary cap biting now, because you can't just spend your way out of money. You've got to be better than that. You can't just have a good squad. You need good squad, good coaching, good systems, good facility. You need everything.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got teams with the quality of Worcester Warriors, Newcastle Falcons and Leicester Tigers fighting out.
One little stat that I used on BT at the weekend. I was just having my breakfast and I just sort of totted it up as I was going through the team sheets for Exeter. Exeter had, in their match day squad at the weekend just gone, 20 out of the 23-man squad have only ever played Premiership rugby for Exeter Chiefs.
Wow.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Which is an indication, when you sort of dig into what that means, it means, one, they had 9 academy players in the match day squad, so that there's one great thing that you can do to help yourself, and Saracens have demonstrated that as well, and the clubs that Northampton this season have really made that something that's a string on their bow. The second one is they pick up really, really good quality players from below Premiership level. Harry Williams, Alec Hepburn, and there's a number more. One from RGC, actually. He was the guy from RGC.
Second
Lonsdale.
Rower. Big second rower.
Lonsdale.
Lonsdale.
Sean Lonsdale? Atkins.
Sean Lonsdale, yeah, they got him from RGC. Anyway, so they pick up, they identify players from outside the Premiership. And thirdly is they create an environment where people don't want to go. When you actually look at the Newcastle side, they're doing some of those things, but a lot of those players are, I don't want to denigrate them by saying it, but journeymen.
Yeah. Newcastle, it's weird. They do sort of get a hometown discount. So one of the things they think of is trying to get players who used to come from the region back up there, because they think they can get them for slightly less to come home. But it's just not that many lads have come from Newcastle, truth be told. So, they have had to supplement, and you are right, you know, it does make a difference.
But it's journeymen who, 95% of those journeymen got them top four last year.
Yeah,
actually, thank you for pointing that out, you're absolutely right.
The fine margins between them finishing top four last year getting relegated this year.
And would you want to go to war without Gonova, Takalua, Sanotti,
Mullapola. Well, maybe not Mullapola as much, but
Rodney or you?
Mark Wilson. I would go to war with Mark Wilson.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
Rodney or you? Rodney or you? Anyone want to say anything about him?
He's a big boy.
Oh, what a player he
Wrecking
was.
Ball. I thought he was rubbish.
Why didn't Ulster keep hold of him?
I don't know.
I thought he was. I thought he wasn't very good. I thought that's why he was let go.
Well, yeah, he's just a big boy. Just big boy, not an amazing scrimmager. Not a. He never did anything really.
Well, he did. He did something on Friday.
Yeah.
He's all. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Are we running out of energy and enthusiasm
at
this end?
I'm so running out of energy.
Quick, Phil, pepper spray him. Get his energy back up. Come on.
I am feeling like I've not had very much sleep for 2 days and a lot of booze.
Yeah. Tell me this.
Yeah, go on.
Harlequins are going to drop out the top four, right?
No, there's four defeats in a row for them now.
Yeah.
And if they do...
In all competitions, it's going to be five defeats in a row because they'll probably lose to Claremont this weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
A bit of a hiding there. Northampton, to me, are the team that look like their top four material.
Well, you can say that about any of them 1 week to the next.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I said this last week. I just like how they're playing and how they're going about their business. They're so positive with how they play.
The problem, Northampton, their pack is not strong enough to mix it in the top four. So if they do get into the top four, they will comfortably get beaten up by either of the... So Gloucester, Saracen, Exeter, they are probably the best three packs in the league.
They are, but the thing is with Northampton is they score a lot of points.
We saw a couple of weeks ago when they played Gloucester, they were bullied up front.
Yeah.
So if you can't get Hutchinson and Furbank and Collins and all the rest of their exciting outside backs, if you can't get them ball, there's no point having them there.
Who would you rather see beat Owen Farrell in the final? Danny Cipriani or Dan Bigger?
Gareth Steenson.
Gareth Steenson, yes.
And Simmons.
Yeah.
Which one, Tim?
Sippers, it would just make for a great story.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, I think the Sippers storyline is better than the Bigger storyline.
Yeah. Being topical, if Sippers was a Game of Thrones character,
ooh,
which one would he be? Would he be that Euron Greyjoy, massive, right, real confident swagger?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
So, no
spoilers, please, because we've not caught up yet on Game of Thrones.
Yeah. No spoilers, obviously. No.
Yeah, so the thing about Game of Thrones is all the characters are so horribly flawed. Like, if you say, I'd like to be that one, and then you look at, Jamie Lannister, he does have his family issues, though. So you can't just, But, like early doors, Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Jamie Lannister.
Huge fan of early doors. He's such a schoolboy bully.
And he literally has a golden wrist.
And that, yeah.
Oh, my word.
There we go,
it's done. Whereas I think Owen Farrell's more, he's like Ned Stark, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Abrasive, northern, tough, he'll like make self-sacrifice.
So one thing you said, who would you prefer to beat? Owen Farrell in the final, Sippers or Bigger? You've missed the obvious one that fits into your narrative perfectly.
Who's that?
Marcus Smith. To take the throne 6 months out from the World Cup.
Oh, that'd be good as well. Oh, the options are endless. God, there's some good tens in the Premiership.
There's a few handy ones.
There is, isn't there?
And one who's not come into the Premiership has been signed today in the worst signing video I have ever seen.
Who's this?
Have you not seen the Gareth Anscombe?
Oh, yes, he has been signed. He's been signed by Ospreys.
Ospreys, the side that weren't going to be existing a month ago.
Yes.
How does Welsh rugby work? I will never... If you want to know why we don't talk about Welsh rugby, it's because we don't understand it.
Have you...
It is more complex than Game of Thrones.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it already, watch the signing video. You might have to kind of cover your eyes a little bit because it's pretty brutally awful.
When was it announced?
Today, this afternoon.
How have they done that?
Don't know.
No, I don't either. Tim, anything to add about how we don't know about anything about the Ospreys?
Nothing about that. But if someone wanted to make a spoof Game of Thrones video for the opening credits, but just flying around Wales to different regions, trying to work that patchwork out. What's going? So RGC is now not a thing, and the Ospreys are still a thing.
What is this?
It was a done deal. Do you remember the messages that everyone was looking at? It was a done deal.
So here we go. The opening of this video. They're in an ambulance. Turn up a bit. Here we go. They're in an ambulance, okay. Notice, do not disturb. Blood transfusion in progress. Okay, so all I've seen now is like is a cheap version of Casualty. Ozzy the Osprey is the nurse.
Or doctor. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Nothing's really happening of any... Oh, there's some wiggling feet. They're putting on some gloves. This is really quite boring.
Yeah.
Black blood is being a... Ooh, this is quite grim. There's black blood. There's a tiny arm. There's a tiny arm being used for the blood transfusion. Some sinister music.
Jay, it's a two-minute video. You don't need to narrate the whole two-minute video.
They take all the blue blood out of him, and they put the black blood in, and then Gareth hands them signs.
There you go.
Oh, that's awful.
That is one of the worst things I have ever seen. That is awful.
Correct.
However, go and have a look. And please, Phil, can you get it on your phone or someone get it on your phone? The end of the commentary, because we've played BBC Bristol before. The BBC Bristol commentary at the end of their game against Saracens.
Oh, I am going to struggle because all my devices need charging. I think I'm going to struggle here.
Yeah, this is far beyond my technical capability.
All right, I'm going to try.
BBC Radio Bristol, yeah?
Yeah, I think Bristol Rugby put it on their Twitter account.
Roger that.
I got sent a link to it as well, but it's very good.
So, one of the guys, who was it? I think they're writing in the... Well, maybe Stuart Bonds was writing in the Times this week about how tens need more protection. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? And do you think... Actually, can you just respond to my thought rather than asking if you've got any thoughts? Do any of you think that we're going too far down the road of protecting tens? Because the more valuable... That's actually what we don't want. We don't want them to be too valuable. Oh. Okay.
I found it if you want it. Hold on.
Yeah, just answer this first, yeah?
Yeah.
Do we want them to be that valuable? Like, so is that not a bad idea?
So they are valuable because of what they do.
Yeah.
I don't think... Well, they are not protected. As in, there are no different rules for tens to anyone else, nor do I think there should be.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And that's not in the laws of the game anyway. There are things that when Johnny Sexton gets smashed by someone, quite often the players will be more likely to get a yellow card than if they smashed a different player slightly high.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's how it appears anyway.
Yeah, so I don't think... I think it's a dreadful idea. Obviously. I think that the idea of making one rule for one set of players and then...
Yeah.
And also...
That, it's never going to happen. That won't happen.
No, but of course it won't.
The point I'm trying to make is if they're that important now, if you change a law or you officiate them differently, they become more important. It's like a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying there, yeah.
Yeah, that is... It's not going to happen, though.
Mm. Have you got that clip, Tim?
Yeah, have a listen.
The clock says zero. Madigan needs to be composed. The Irishman who's played at the highest level.
On the sticks.
Now.
So it's that same thing again with just one bloke commentating, another bloke just chatting when he wants about what he wants completely separately.
Has got a chance.
I also like the fact he called him the Irish bloke.
To win this game for Bristol with the final kick of the game.
It's right in the middle of the post.
I said it was getting exciting, Joe.
He's
done easy to
sleep, pressure, mate. It never know what
I happened. Said you needed something to shout about, Joe.
And we've got something.
That time is coming.
I can't watch this. Andy, you're going to have to watch this, mate.
Madigan with the penalty, which surely will win this game for Bristol.
I'm looking at the bench now and no one's watching.
Currently, Bears 20. Saracens 21, Ian Madigan, centre field position, directly in front of the post, 33 metres out. That familiar pose, bent almost 90 degrees from the hips, comes up, kicks right footed. He kicks it.
Yes! Yes!
Wow. For Bristol.
It is.
Ian Madigan seals up.
It is one of the least professional but most entertaining bits of broadcasting every time these local parochial stations do rugby. I love it.
Absolutely love it. That is brilliant.
That is it. Hey, one of these days, do you fancy, in fact, maybe next Friday if you're not working, do you fancy recording us doing commentary for a Sale game? Maybe Sale Bath? I've got all the microphones and kit. We could just do that, basically.
And put it to the pictures.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when... So we can finally get JB going, being the guy going, I can't watch. Too nervous.
That'd be good fun.
I'm working at that match, though, so I can't do that. But
well, you don't do anything during the game, Tim.
Well, I'm absorbing the match.
Yeah, preparation.
Yeah, totally.
We'll talk about it again.
Yes. Right. Any other business? Can
John
I go
Barclay
to bed?
John Barclay calling the Edinburgh performance shit.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who?
John Barclay was like was they it was Ross Ford's last home game, and John Barclay came out and said, "What a guy Ross Ford is." However, we were shit for his last game.
Tough.
I like the honesty of it.
Oh, okay. Before we go then from Scottish rugby, Johnny Gray's performance. Anyone? Was it Richie Gray?
Oh yeah, 43 tackles.
That is enormous.
Yes. Another bit of business. Jack Knowles' Red Bull scrum cap.
I've not seen it.
He had a Red Bull branded scrum cap.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Is that allowed?
Does that contravene advertising rules?
Well, clearly not. Now, sometimes you see players with bits of tape over the branding on their scrum cap, and whilst a lot of people have sort of assumed that means you're not allowed to have the branding, look at Maro Itoje, he has his Adidas one and other players have theirs. I was actually assuming that players putting tape over their scrum cap thing was that they hadn't got a sponsorship deal, so they were not giving anyone free advertising until they got paid to show the badge. I think that might be the way round it is, because as I say, Maro Itoje has his Adidas one.
I always assumed it is because they were sponsored by tape manufacturers.
But clearly you are allowed to have sponsored scrum caps, Jack Knoll being the first. So where else is this going to go in rugby?
The end of the wedge.
What other adverts are there going to be on? Well, on bits of kit, it feels a bit dodgy to me. But then, as I say, Maro Itoje's doing it with Adidas. Why shouldn't Jack Knoll do it with Red Bull?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, I can't think of what else you can really do it with. I mean, obviously, Under Armour. They were very Under Armour was so clever because their little thing like stuck up a bit, like the little polo neck.
Yeah,
so you could always see the Under Armour.
Yeah,
footballers went through snoods, but I can see that being an absolute disaster in rugby.
If Jack Knoll tried to do that at the World Cup, I think World Rugby might have an issue.
Oh, 100%. He wouldn't get away with that.
Yeah.
No. There was a running brand that made the first under like base layer. Do you remember that? And had like a stripe down the arms.
Oh, that rings a bell.
Stephen Jones used to wear it.
God,
like navy. Like
a long time ago, this.
Long.
15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I do.
I can't think of anything else you'd wear. You're not allowed to wear tights to play.
Cycling shorts. The Gloucester backline branded cycling shorts.
Yeah, there's obviously a deal going on there with someone.
Well, the one thing is, what brands would work really well on a scrum cap?
Right, let's wrap this sorry pod up.
Let me go to bed, please.
But I'd like some suggestions for rugby branding and what could go on a scrum cap that would work really well. Like, could you have... I don't know. What could you use it for that would be on a head? I don't know. I can't. My brain doesn't work either.
Head and shoulders?
Sorry?
Head and shoulders?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, yeah, you have to do it, I guess. So you have a scrum cap, but it exposes at least a section of your hair, and then you've got, you know, literally a shop window for hair products.
A very, very small niche shop window for hair products.
That'd be my obvious one. Outside of that, I don't know.
No. But anyway.
Suggestions on...
Boys, you need to go and become human again.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you do have some suggestions for us about, you know, actually suggestions on how we podcast better.
Don't go drinking in Prague for 2 days and getting pepper sprayed in the face.
Yeah, yeah, there is that. Just to give you an idea of how spicy pepper spray is. My good friend Steve Elliott, I was in a bar and he bit my ear. Steve likes chili. He described himself as a bit of a pepperhead. His mouth was burning. And this was like a day afterwards.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Right, mate, find us on Twitter. I'm at JBeardmore, Tim's at Cocker, Phil's lurking in your DMs, or our own Twitter account, which is at Rugby Podcast. We're also on YouTube, we've got a Facebook accounty thing. Do all those things, find us, follow us, engage in the conversation. And that's it. And we'll see you with a normal podcast of our usual high standards next Sunday, when we'll have all the action from the European games. So until then, from me, Tim and Phil, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.